Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Greg Grunberg. Hey, it's Greg Grunberg from Heroes. And I know what you're thinking. Stardish Radio couldn't be better. It could be if I was on the show every single day. But yes, I, like you, love this show. You're listening, you're calling in, you're blogging in, you're on the computer. It's Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Barbara Allen Woods from One Tree Hill, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, guys. This is Denise Bassey, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is September 21st, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. The call-in number is 347-945-5423. Don't be shy. Come in and participate with us. I cannot visually see the chat room. Something wrong with my flash player, but I do have somebody in there keeping tabs. So if you guys got questions, spit them out, and I'll get them. The 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, the beautiful Lisa LoCicero from General Hospital, she portrays Olivia Falconeri, is going to be joining me 10 p.m. Eastern Time, so make sure you come out for that. All righty. Tonight's guest is proof positive that you do not have to become a victim of your environment. Growing up in Harlem in the early 80s was no easy feat, but my guest tonight not only came through unscathed, he is a successful actor, musician, writer, husband, father that gives back to the community by teaching to kids and at-risk youths. He is just a perfect, perfect role model. I am more than pleased to welcome to Stardish Radio, Mr. Eugeni Cornelius.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, that's what's up.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How you been?
I'm fabulous. I'm just happy I didn't screw up your name.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. It is Eugeni Cornelius. I thank you for getting it right.
Absolutely. So, Eugeni, you've got such a story behind you, and I want to start from scratch.
Okay.
Tell me about... Hi. Tell me about you and growing up in Harlem. Tell me about your life as a child in Harlem and how you came through. Because, like I said, you don't have to be a victim of your environment. You can pull through all these things, and you're a perfect person to prove that.
Yeah, Harlem was tough. I grew up, parents split up, you know, how a lot of African-American and just families in general in America are split up. I was living back and forth between moms and pops. Moms wasn't doing so well financially. I stayed in a shelter for a little bit. I stayed in a hotel for a little bit, stayed with grandmas for a little bit. So it was sort of tough. But, you know, everyone, I think with the love of the family around me, everyone pull through. To this day, I can still say that, you know, everyone is still family. I struggled through school a little bit because of that, so I had some connection issues with the text and the work that was given in school, but I excelled in other places just for, I guess, for my natural aptitude that God blessed me with.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And you were accepted into the Boys Choir of Harlem.
Yeah, yeah.
You turned it down.
Yeah, because, one, I just didn't want to be around a whole bunch of dudes. I was just thinking about that idea. It's like, oh, a whole bunch of dudes, that's wild. But also, it's just, it was in the same neighborhood as where I was living, and the other school, Frederick Douglass Academy, where I ended up attending, it was talking about being college bound.
Mm-hmm.
And my main objective at the time was just get out the hood, just get somewhere else. It didn't have to be somewhere rich and spectacular, but just be able to see somewhere else and just not be in that central location as I felt stuck in. So I was like, mm-hmm. College bound. It sounds like you're going somewhere. You know, I could always sing. I could always eventually act. You know, that stuff. I don't need a school to tell me how to do that. You know, I can always mm-hmm. take personal things, but college bound. there's something special about that. So that's why I went to Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm. And you excelled in volleyball, basketball, track, the debate team. And I can, just by the way that you speak and your pronunciation and your diction, I can tell that you would be a fabulous debater.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently, people tell me that. I love to hear that, and it motivates me to do better. But at the same time, I think as a leader, I guess I'm best at following, and with mm-hmm. is following the mode of good advice, following the mode of people who are successful, and following the right path. I've made bad decisions. I've
mm-hmm.
chosen the bad path, and I'm noticing that usually I choose the bad path because I'm following the bad path, and you know. So you got to
mm-hmm.
follow the right people and be a part of the right people that surround you.
Right. Now, you were on the French team. You speak fluent French, or was that just something that you did in school?
I did it in school for a while, and I had a couple of French young ladies who I had bonjoured with. If I studied maybe for about a month or two, I can speak fluently again, but I can still pick up the accent pretty quickly, and I can still understand it better than I can speak it.
Oh, okay. Now mm-hmm. coming through, and now going to St. Lawrence University, double major in theater and arts and creative writing. What did you know all this time growing up and bouncing from place to place to place? Did you know that acting, writing, singing, all this stuff is what you really wanted to do? How did all that come to you? You know, like, how did you concentrate on that kind of stuff, going from place to place, and decide, okay, you know what, I want to do this, and that's it?
It was never that choice of, like, I want to do this, and that's it. It was more like that was the only thing that was tangible to me as I mm-hmm. moved from place to place. You know, you have those big, heavy books. You can't really carry those big, heavy global textbooks from place to place. You can look in a map and stuff like that, and that's great, but My writing books were always able to be with me, and my songs and things like that. You listen to the radio, the songs is in your family household. Those things were the few things that were able to be tangible in such a hectic life. Those are the things that you can move around with. So I think that's why, as I think about it now, that's why it stayed with me for so long. I never thought I was going to be an actor. I always tell people I thought I was going to be a doctor, like this crazy brain surgeon. Or, you know, a heart surgeon or something, following in the steps of Ben Carson. I used to tell my dad, like, I'm going to be a doctor. And my dad still to this day says, never too late. You know, you never know. I could be like Dr. Bill Cosby, I guess. But I think the path has been chosen for me because I see where my success has lied in thus far.
Okay. Now, how did you end up in London?
Oh, I was out in St. Lawrence, and St. Lawrence got boring because just dealing with, I guess the closed-mindedness of a lot of people that I dealt with there, and a couple of professors I met, they were like, you know, you gotta see the world, and mm-hmm. I had never seen the world really. I'd never been outside of America, and I'd never been outside of the East Coast at the time. So I applied for the theater program in London, and I spent a whole year there doing both. What's it called, the internship, pardon me, doing an internship at the Globe Theater and at Stanley House Recording Studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I met a lot of musicians there. I met the Soul Solid crew while I was out there. I met a couple of the Spice Girls. That was cool. That was
uh-huh.
I got a chance to act on the Globe stage. So that's how I got out to London. It was such a beautiful experience. Everything, it was like understanding where New York came from going to London.
Really?
Yeah, it was some of the best memories of my life.
Wow, that's amazing. When I was your age, that I would have been able to pick up and do something like that. That's
yeah.
Everyone definitely should definitely see the world. I tell my kid that all the time too. So I'm crazy for doing it.
Oh, appreciate it. You got to see something different, you know. I don't know, what's your child's name?
Christian.
Christian.
Yeah, he's going to be
17. See the world, Christian, you 17-year-old young man. I want to clear something up while I'm on here, Joanne.
Of course.
I love, the fact is, people people respect me, and I feel that, and that's great, but I don't want to be this person where it's like you can't mess up, you know? I don't want to have that image. I don't want to have that Barack sort of squeaky clean image. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm all about positivity. I'm all about upward movement, but I do make mistakes, and I have made mistakes, and I'm just thinking about my life in general right now, and as I walk through this park, I'm about getting ready to jog, and I'm thinking about how I want to set up my life for the future, and I don't want to be, like somebody said the other night, they was like, you have clean-cut music, and I thought about it, I was like, clean-cut music, that's great, but then it's like a certain brand, a certain image that I have to live up to with clean-cut music, and albeit, I guess I could sell 1 million records or 10 million records making clean-cut music, but is that who I am in my heart of hearts? You know, I want to be able to be someone different. I want to be able to be the bad guy and not just be seen as the good guy. I want to be able to be the good guy and not just be seen as the bad guy. So I just wanted to get that in the air to understand that I have like a duality of personage. I have a lot that dwells in the depths of my heart besides the, like, you know, because I can play the side character and be funny. Have you seen Tropic Thunder?
You know what? No, I haven't, but I've heard about it.
You didn't see Tropic Thunder?
No, you know, I'm such a wuss when it comes to movies. I never, ever go. I mean, it's terrible, but I know.
Yeah, I'm shaking my finger at you right now. You don't see it, though.
I'll see it. I promise you I'll see it. I promise.
Well, my favorite part of Tropic Thunder is that this big-time movie star, Tom Cruise, he's in the film. And you would never know it's Tom Cruise until, like, 5 minutes after seeing him. And that for me, was like a shining point in his career. And that was like a eye-opening point in my career. I don't have, at first I was just like, I have to be the lead guy and I have to be the good guy because that's the role I want to play and that's the image I want people to see me as. And then I start noticing I'm an actor, I'm a musician. I have to be able to be flexible. I have to be able to move and have movement and not be so stiff and rigid in what I'm attempting to do. So, and leave my options open because somebody could be calling out for me to do something, and I'm so stuck in this path right here that I think I want that is leaving over options that the Lord has blessed me with, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be open to do different things. You can't stick to that one thing. Otherwise, something could definitely pass you by that you may end up regretting.
Yeah, I always think about the song, The One Note Samba. It's called The One Note Samba, but there's many notes in The One Note Samba. So I just think about life and sort of connection with that.
Right. Now, you did some acting. You did some Law & Order Criminal Intent, which I have to say is my favorite Law & Order.
Okay.
That is my favorite Law & Order out of all of them.
The one with Vince or the one with Jeff?
The one what?
The one with Vince or the one with Jeff?
The one with Vince. I like
that
one.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I did, yeah.
Yes, I like the original. I mean, I like Jeff Goldblum, too. I do, but I mean, I like Vincent D'Onofrio. I watched it, you know, since the beginning, and he's my favorite. I liked watching him grow as an actor, too, because he did a lot of other stuff, besides Law & Order in between.
Yeah, I loved him in Men in Black. You remember Men in Black?
Yes.
Yeah, most people don't recognize him. It's the same guy. I loved him in that film.
I know. He was really good. And he was also, I mean, I don't know if you remember this movie. You're young, but it's out a little, it's on every cable channel, period. Adventures in Babysitting with Elizabeth Shue. He played Thor, you know, like the little girl Thor. He's done a lot of offbeat stuff, but I really like him. Working with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'm in the same film. I worked with Aaron Johnson. He was in Shanghai Nights. He played Charlie Chaplin, the little kid Charlie Chaplin, who ends up being Charlie Chaplin at the end of the movie. He was him, and he plays young Edward Norton in The Illusionist. I believe the film he was in is Illusionist or The Prestige. One of the two. I always get those mixed up. The magic movies. So I got a chance to work with Aaron Johnson, and I got a chance to work with Evan Peters, he was in Never Back Down. He played the best friend in Never Back Down. He does a lot of comedy work, curly hair, long hair, young gentleman. And I got a chance to work with Chris Mintz, McLovin, as most people know him as, but he loves to be called Chris Mintz. That's his name, you know, so he wants to be called
right.
by his name. I never met Nicolas Cage. I'm sure he's tall and mad handsome and walking down the street looking good, but I never met the brother. So, everyone's like, you worked with Nick Cage. I'm like, it sounds great. and when I tell it to other people, I'm probably going to say, yeah, I worked with Nick Cage, but to keep it 100, to keep it real, I worked on the film, same film, Kick-Ass, and I think I did my thing. You know, I think
right.
I did my thing, but we'll see.
So let me, who inspires you musically?
Who inspires me musically?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to say, right now, in the present day, I'd have to say Jamie Foxx. I'd have to say Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I still like his joints. I know a lot of people like, oh, Will Smith, but I still like Will Smith. Present day right now, I'd have to say that young boy, what's his name, Ja Ra, he had that song, that birthday sex song. I really feel
what?
That song. Yeah.
I don't like that song.
You don't like that song?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Maybe if I was 18 again, I would.
Well, you know, when it came out, it was around, when it came out, when I first heard it, it was around my birthday. Me and my young lady's birthday is at the same time. So it was in a week of each other. So we were enjoying that song. I'd like to say that.
Okay,
now.
Well, there you go. I mean, like I said, if I was 18 again, maybe. But.
Yeah, I have an emotional connection with it. I got a fella down in ATL. I really rock J-Bug. He's down in ATL. Underground, I listen to a lot of underground music, a lot of up-and-coming artists, Ishan Muhammad, a lot of cats, Ufon, a lot of cats from here in New York, underground artists, because I'm in the underground scene still. So
mm-hmm.
I got my foot halfway in both realms. I got some record labels looking at me, and they're like, oh, we can do this, we can do this. And I'm like, can I keep my publishing? And they're like, you know, so I'm still sort of stay underground for some of those reasons. But a lot of past people inspire me, man. I'm so inspired by Michael Jackson, Fela Kuti, Robert Johnson. I can go into 100 guitarists, B.B. King. I can go into 1,000 guitarists almost. Jimi Hendrix, of course, Johnny Cash, a lot of guitarists, piano players. I can go into some Thelonious Monk. I can go into some Bud Powell. I listen to a diversity of music. So I go from just regular Negro spirituals, just listening to drums over people singing, to listening to high orchestras of like, you know, Johann Sebastian Bach or Mozart, like, or just symphony orchestras or big band music, jazz,
right.
big band music. So
so
musically, I'm so diverse, but a lot of African-American artists for me stick out to me just because it was like you had to sort of seek out to see yourself and
right.
to see your own success. And then it became in the future, I was able to say, all right, now that I know where I come from, now I can reach out and see the Johnny Cashes, see the Beatles for the geniuses that they were.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, back in the day, I mean, it was all uncool to listen to them, but now it's kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, that's fresh. Pardon.
Not to beat a dead issue, but I have to ask you, what you thought about Kanye West's stunt on the VMAs.
You know what? I wrote it on Twitter, too, and I said, Kanye, you know, I wouldn't have personally done it, but it's good to see an artist, for me, that's in trouble with the VMAs and not the LAW. You know, so if that's the most that's in his career, that's sort of like, oh, he's so outspoken, he's interrupting Taylor Swift. And on top of that, Taylor Swift, you might want to thank that man. He is your biggest PR agent right now because he made your career right now, for whatever it was. Let's say that it wasn't moving forward, but you popped out so much to both sides of audiences now that I know who you are. I didn't know who Taylor Swift was.
Right.
Now, my wife, she was like, oh, Taylor Swift, I love her song. I can't believe Kanye did that. I'm like, who is she? You know, and
right,
I had to
right.
go, and I watch a lot of music videos. I guess when I've seen her videos, I turn it off. But now
right.
I watch it because of Kanye West. So,
right.
Kanye, you did her a big favor, whether you knew it or not. So, that and it's all on people's judgment. I'm not going to hate on the man for doing what he wants. He's an outspoken gentleman. If that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. It's not me, though. I wouldn't personally do that. I don't know if I have either the gall or the success choice that my career can still withstand it to go up and do that. So, you know?
Right, right. See, my opinion about it, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, because after being mad, because, I mean, I have an 8-year-old who loves Taylor Swift. So, I mean, after the mama bear kind of, like, withdrew and I started, you know, stopped calling him every name in the book, I read a lot of posts, and you're right. He did kind of, like, open her up to other audiences, because a lot of people were posting, well, you know what, thanks a lot, Kanye, because of you, now I like country music. Or thanks a lot,
yeah.
now I like this. But at the same time, Beyonce summed it up very nicely. She remembered when she was 17 years old, and it was accepting that award that really meant a lot. You know, and it was a big deal for a country star to accept that award, because no one in the country music genre ever won a VMA before.
Okay, I didn't know that about the country music VMA. And also,
yeah.
I didn't know. Taylor Swift is country music? I hear that one song
but
she
I
has.
But I mean, she is country music. She's classified as country music, but she does sound popish. But
okay.
She's classified as country music. In order for her to win that award, she had to obtain 100% of the country vote and some of the pop, which she accomplished. And that's she's the first country star to ever win a video music award.
Well, congratulations, Taylor Swift. Congratulations,
yeah.
Taylor Swift. And she's 19?
19.
Well, she has a long, long future ahead of her. If I was her, I'd keep it moving. Kanye, keep it moving, man. You apologized. And Taylor Swift, she's a beautiful young lady doing so much work. So I think she's in a great place right now in her life. And I would like to see her personally have the goal after he handed the mic back and said, well, I got it now. You know,
right.
Beyonce, it was good. It was good that you had the best video. But I got it. You know, that's what I wanted to see, because maybe that's just me. But I think it's just a moment of sort of hilarity in the world of music and
right.
and the crazy things that we do as artists that we think are cool, and then we look back like Jay-Z
mm-hmm.
when he did that video. I remember he was talking about, he looked back on it, "You Will Always Be My Sunshine," and
uh-huh.
he was like wearing like a Hawaiian shirt, and everything was like, he was wearing like green suits or something, and everything was in different colors. And
right.
he was just trying something new as an artist. And he looked back, he's like, that didn't quite go as I thought it would. So
right, right, right.
So it's just one of those things, Kanye, man. I'm just so happy that brother is in trouble with the VMAs rather than the law. You know,
because
right. there's so much other stuff that he can be into that we can be looking like, oh, my God. You know, there's artists
right.
out there that's in trouble for beating women. And imagine who has to, and his career move that he has to come back from somebody who's just interrupting somebody while they're giving a speech. So,
right.
it's a lot to be said. But I won't go fully into it because I'm still trying to get my career off the jump. So I don't want to offend nobody.
Well, I have an interesting question for you from someone in the chat room, Brandon. He says, after hearing you talk, when you think about it, you pretty much lived a real-life version of fame in terms of where, what, and how you studied your craft. Are you interested in the upcoming movie, and what is it about that kind of story that makes it so interesting that filmmakers keep telling it?
You know, it's funny. You know, Tori Norton, the young, the dark-skinned lady, she's playing the piano, sings in the trailer. She's in the same trailer.
I didn't see the trailer yet. Okay.
Yeah. We did a commercial together. It was actually the first, I did a Nike commercial last year with Benny Boom. He directed
uh-huh.
the commercial. Benny Boom, thank you very much. I appreciate you, good brother, for picking me and having the faith in me. I just wanted to say that. But she played my girlfriend in that commercial. And it ran during the Olympics last year. and we kept in contact for a little bit. She was telling me about how her exploits in 3LW and how, you know, about just where she came from as an artist. So when I saw her on the street, maybe about, excuse me, I'm on the street right now. I'm about to go for my jog in the late evening, so I'm just walking it out right now until we get off the phone, then I go for my jog. So when I saw her on 42nd Street, and she was like, hey, this is my manager. It was either a manager or a PR person, and we got to kicking, and she was like, yeah, I had to practice the piano for a couple of months for Fame, and it's coming out soon, so go out and check out Fame. I was like, okay. Then I thought to myself, they're redoing Fame? What? And nobody gave me a call? I'm living this thing, you know? But I saw the trailer, and I saw the kind of actors that they chose, a lot of young, small, petite-looking people. You know, I'm 6'3", sort of manly-looking, you know? I play a younger kid sometimes, but they want to cast me as a big younger kid rather than that small dancing guy, even though I can dance and things of that nature. So I saw the film, and I used to love the old film Fame because I love Debbie Allen. I love her skills. I love where she comes from as an actress and an artist. So to see it being done over, it's cool. It's cool. I'm sort of like, it looks like it can be sort of hokey, but you got to do it sort of hokey because it's like a remake of a classic. So everything you're going to see about it, you're going to be over critiquing it. You're going to be like, oh, this is a remake. Oh, look at how, look at it. That's not real to the original. Or you're going to be looking at it like, oh, that's cheesy, just because you want that. You hold that classic so far up in your heart.
Right.
So, I'm really interested in seeing where it is and what it has come to. And I'm really looking, if they do a Fame part two, tell them to shout me a holler. If I can play a student, I'll play a brother, you know. Mm-hmm. I'll take a residual. I will take a residual. Thank you. So, I'm very, very interested in watching Fame and seeing Notori, who also played Little Kim in Notorious.
Oh, okay.
Same girl. See her career blossom. I love to see my peers do as well, do as well as I am, and doing the great things that we're meant to do.
Right. Well, he's just telling me in the chat she sings the remake of the theme song on the soundtrack, and he said she's fabulous.
Yeah, I told you she was
the joint.
Cool.
All right. Very good, very good. Now, tell me, what's your affiliation with Tobias Trevelyan?
Oh, my man, Tobias. What up, Tobias? Tobias, we've been running in the same circle and haven't met. We have met now, but we hadn't met for maybe about 2 years. And he was on General Hospital.
No, One Life to Live.
One Life to Live, pardon me, One Life to Live. I knew he was on one of those shows. One Life to Live, because I did a play with another girl on General Hospital, Carla Mosley. He was on One Life to Live, and DeWanda Wise, who played his love interest, I believe, on the show, DeWanda Wise, she was in my music video, I Am. So that was like the last bit of it before we actually met up, and we started bouncing back and forth. He's going to be doing some... I believe he's going to be doing some web series coming up, and he spoke to me about trying to work with him and doing some positive movement on the web series. I don't want to fully speak of what I might do in the piece because I'd like it to come to fruition and like you to just see it and be like, oh, that's what he ends up doing. Because I've ended up wearing a lot of hats now just because it's been that point where, all right, Hollywood, you haven't come knock quick enough for me. I know people tell me, be patient. They're going to come calling. Be patient. But it's like, at the same time, it hasn't come quick enough for me, and I like to stay busy. I like to stay active. I love the craft. So I do my work on, I do all kinds of hats. I wear all kinds of hats. He contacted me about doing that. So ironically enough, we just got to chatting. We talked for a bit, man. We just kicked it. And we were very similar, and it was very funny how we kicked it together and just, it was just cool people. He knew a couple of people that I knew. Some people knew him that he didn't know I knew. And it's just a great time to be a part of the Six Degrees.
Right. Yeah, I don't think I ever really met Tobias. Did I? No, I never met him. I had him on my show. but when he was on One Life to Live. It's a shame that they really wasted him, and I told him this, they really wasted his talent on that show.
Yeah.
And just kind of like let his story dissipate into the background, and it was a sad thing to see happen, and they made
yeah.
him go out like such a stereotypical stupid guy, you know, cheating on his girlfriend with this one and that one, and I think that's where DeWanda Wise came in, because the girl who played his love interest on the show was actually Sika Sumpter.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, so he actually, when you first contacted me, and I didn't see, he was the only person I saw that we had in common, I asked him who you were, and he praised
yeah.
you to all heavens.
Yeah, yeah, he's a great guy, man. We had such, we just had such a connection, man. He's just a good dude, man. When we met, like, it was like, oh, man, you doing this, I'm doing this, man. It's like, we in the same body, we just different veins, and we about to meet up in the heart somewhere. So
right.
So it was cool.
Yeah, he's definitely a good guy. Would you consider working on a soap opera?
I actually went in. I didn't go in for a soap. I went in for a soap opera last year. I went in for One Life to Live, but they had me come in for a 35-year-old swim instructor. It's like, come on, like be
oh,
for
really?
Real, like yeah. It's like have me come in for who I'm set for and. And don't waste my and your time. I don't want to. I know what people say. And they're like, oh, every audition is a coin in the bucket and stuff like that. But you mean to say I gotta wait till I'm 30? Because I gotta wait till I'm 35 to get my all the coins that I put into this damn bucket? No, I don't want to do that. You know. So if you have me come in for something I'm at least close to, you can see somewhat of my talent. Because you're gonna try to cast me now. Against a 40-something-year-old woman, and I'm supposed to be the younger guy at 35. When I'm nowhere near 35, I don't have the age appropriateness. Even though I have some wisdom about me, but I don't have the age appropriateness for a 35-year-old. I can grow into a 35-year-old if you see me on the screen. Like you know, I can take you from an 18-year-old to a 35-year-old. But just to be a 35-year-old, it's a mental block, I guess. And I guess I can get over it, and I went in for the audition. I gave my all, and I didn't get a call back. So,
right.
So I haven't been called back in yet for something that's appropriate for somewhere I would be around 25, 30
right,
even.
Right.
But you know, a 35-year-old love interest, and it's like okay,
no.
to a 40-something-year-old woman that you know, it's like all right, I get what you're saying, but I'll try it. And my manager sends me in, and I'm like. Hey man, I'll try anything. They're like, can you box? I used to do boxing when I was 12. Yeah, I can box.
Right.
So I'm gonna go into it. And I'm gonna believe as much as I can. But
right.
after I leave there and I go and assess the situation as I always do, because I never leave out of somewhere and not assess what happened. I always think
mm-hmm.
about it's this mental. I was reading this book, The Power of the Subconscious, and it tells you within one day. Try to replay back everything that you did from when you woke up to the nighttime. Attempt to literally replay every action. And it's supposed to strengthen your mind in some way. So I do that with my auditions as well. And I think, I'm like, if you send me in for something appropriate, when they send me in for Kick-Ass, it was like, it was so appropriate. It was just the time. It was just the timing. It was like, when I went in the audition for Platinos and Collard Greens, and I went in the audition for Auction Block to Hip Hop, it was just the timing. It's not because of the story that they're telling, but it's the way that they want the story told. If you want a 35-year-old swim instructor, I have a lean body, muscles.
Right.
Yes, good. You want a 25-year-old swim instructor? Great, you called the right guy. You want a 35-year-old swim instructor? My face doesn't look like a 35-year-old.
No,
you know?
Not at all. Not at all.
So I struggle there, so I haven't been called back in yet for soap, but I did audition for, they have a new ABC show coming out called The Deep End. It's like a,
mm-hmm.
it's like a sort of melodramedy, like a comedy / drama, and I
mm-hmm.
went in for a new role that they was trying to write. Haven't heard back from them yet, but, you know, I keep on auditioning, I keep on going, and hopefully somebody smartens up and sees my talent and sees
there
my poise. And, yeah.
Absolutely. So, tell me about let's talk a little bit about the music before I let you go. Tell me about that song.
Oh, that song was actually it was a song of awakening for me. I went through some big issues. I did a film and I was so gung ho and I wasn't really paying attention to life. And I was so gung ho. I came out of college. And I was like, I got to do anything and everything to be an actor now, because I told my family this is what I'm gonna do. And I worked on this project with these basically these hood rats, you know, these dudes that they were more interested in the final dollar sign rather than the actual work and then getting the money. I'm not saying don't get the money. I'm saying be interested in the art. It's the art. It's a craft. And after dealing with them, I literally got into a fist fight.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and I literally got into a fist fight trying to protect myself. And, you know, and I was just like, I'm like, this is crazy. This won't ever happen to me again. It won't ever happen to me again, because I saw it coming the whole time, and I didn't pay attention to the signs. I didn't pay attention to the negativity on set, the negativity, the constant negativity, the constant debauchery, and not even like debauchery in a good sense. Like, hey, we're partying, we're getting drunk, let's have fun. It was like, I tear you down to make myself feel better, and I don't know what I'm talking about. You know, after dealing with that, I felt such a pain. I wrote the second verse first. Rich man bought me was my so-called cousin. So I was just talking about, like, you know, because I was talking about the guy being like, you know, he's supposed to be my you know, not my brother, because we both black, but he my cousin.
Right,
you know, that's
right.
I like to say. we both black, we ain't brothers, but we might be cousins. We're in the same tribe, that's for sure. When I wrote that, I was like, I don't know what I'm going through. I was going through a depression point. I was like, man, I'm struggling so much, because I was willing to give up everything, even my own integrity. And when I got to that point, I was like, man, I am an unhappy clown. I'm like this guy smiling on the outside. I'm going around to my friends like, yo, man, I'm going to do this. And I'm giving up everything, even a piece of myself, just to do this. And it's not the piece of myself that I need to be given away. It's the piece of myself that needs to stay with me to be a whole and integral part of entertainment. You have to be a solid person to be an entertainer. You have to be a strong, strong person to be an entertainer, and especially make it as an entertainer in America, and especially as an entertainer in New York City.
Yeah.
Because the competition is so high in New York City, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
I can literally name you right now 100 actors who are in competition to be in competition with me. You know?
They're
not even knowing where I am. They're in competition just to be in competition with me. And I'm in a level where I'm in competition to be in competition with somebody else just in New York. We haven't even left New York yet.
I don't even want
to go to LA and things like that. So when I got to that point, I wrote I Am. And after I Am, I felt like a release. I was like, this is great, because I was rapping still at the time. I was still doing my hardcore rapping. I was trying to pick up my guitar, and I was trying to write the right song. And I Am is the second song I wrote on my guitar. The first song is on the album too, Reap, R-E-A-P, You Reap What You Sow, basically talking about stealing another guy's girlfriend. You steal another guy's girlfriend, all you got is a stolen girlfriend. You don't want that. That's what the song is about. But yeah, so I Am was my second song, and to this day, I still love the song, and I made a video because I wanted people to visualize what I was talking about. Because a lot of people, sometimes they can't, they're so stuck in a mold. People was like, oh, man, you got to add some shakers here, and you got to add some drums here. I'm like, no, it's me and my guitar. That's it.
Yeah.
Just listen to what it is, and so I made it visual to hopefully connect people with it a little bit more.
Right. And I love the video, and I love the song, period. Now, where can everyone buy these CDs of yours?
Okay, first I want to say I appreciate that. I appreciate all the love I get for the music. You can go on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Check me out.
Downloadable on iTunes.
Best believe it. Best believe it.
Go ahead.
Do everything right.
You go.
I'm on CD Baby, MusicNet, Rhapsody. I keep a large internet presence, so I'm working on my fifth album right now, The Cycle of Fits, and it's going to be on CD Baby, iTunes, and all that. So that's basically you. If it's on the internet, most likely I'm there.
Perfect.
So if you have a website, a favorite website that you'd like to go to, I'm now just trying to get acclimated to LimeWire, though. That's the only place where I'm lacking because I need more people file sharing it. And, just for right now, DSOP, I'd say share it, please. Please get acclimated to what I do. And if you like it, go buy it after that. Go buy one song. You don't have to buy the whole album. We make it so that you can buy one song. Go buy one song. Go support the artist. Go support, and not just me, in general, support artists, man. Stop. Everything doesn't have to be stealing the music. You like it? Oh, I like that. I'll go buy one song. 99 Cent, I don't have to go buy those M&Ms. I can go buy this man's song because this song moves me. This song moves me.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you right now, I love it all. Everything that you sent me, I love. And it'll be on my website, so you can best believe that, okay? And I definitely forwarded it to as many people as I knew that I knew would appreciate it. So,
okay, yeah, I appreciate that. Let me just give – I'm going to give my last and final salutations before I go and get this jog in right now.
Go ahead.
I've walked about a mile, and I got to go get my half an hour jogging before I go stretch and go home and prepare for the morning time. I'm working at the Urban World Film Festival, so if anybody's going to be at the Urban World Film Festival, you'll see me there behind the scenes working with Damian D. Smith and Teresa O'Neill and everybody in the office over there. Might get a chance to chill with Jamie Foxx on this Law Abiding Citizen preview. You know, if I get a little bit lucky, get in the right circle. But I'd just like to give much, much, much thanks to the higher creator above for putting me here on this earth and telling me I have a purpose here to see that a lot of the other people who've been doing it thus far have fallen by the bootstraps, and you allow me to continue. I appreciate that. I want to give a good, good grace to my family. My family keeps me in their heart, and I appreciate that so much. And I'm just appreciative of everyone from Blog Talk Radio who has been interviewing me, everyone out there who's bought the album and actually tunes in and listens and has a voice and has an ear and just continues to grow. I want to thank everyone. Just I know it's hard when you really get on the spot and you can go thank a whole bunch of people and people are like, oh, you left me out. So I want to thank everyone. And Joanne, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me on your show. And keep the blessings and keep the work and keep everything moving forward.
Well, anytime, sweetheart. You're always welcome. And you know what? We're going to close out this show with I Am. So, everyone, take a listen to Ohene Cornelius at his best in I Am. There you go. Have a wonderful jog, and I will be in touch with you on Facebook, my darling.
Thank you. Thank you. Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
There you go.
Peace.
My best friend is a hungry lion. We sit on the rooftop praying to Zion. The man in the witch is tipped with iron. I juggle the last while my inside's crying. I am an unhappy clown. In this perfect galaxy, I wear the smiling frown, a single tear for tragedy. Ooh, ooh.